You have your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the book of John, please, chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. Let's read in verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. This word's very important. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. You can stop right there and ask a question, you know, where's your joy meter? Is it over towards full, or is it three quarters, or is it half, or is it a quarter? My wife is the world's worst to park a vehicle in the driveway on empty. I mean the world's worst. Brother Grizzle Peggy must do the same thing. I see you back there, amen. The world's worst. But I'm going to tell you something about Baptists. There's a whole lot of them parking their body in the house of God every Sunday on empty. Their joy's not full. They ain't even half full. The Bible said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You can be seated. Please pray with me and pray for me. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be here in the house of God at Bible Way. I thank you for my people. I thank you for those that are visiting with us today. I thank you, Lord, most of all, that we've been able to sense your presence already in the service today. Lord, truly, you're all we need. And Father, I pray that you'd reach down your hand this morning and touch some heart. Lord, encourage your people. And Lord, I pray today that, Lord, we'd be able to have a heart full of joy. Lord, Nehemiah told them that the joy of the Lord was their strength. And God, we need some strength in these days. We need to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to bring a message this morning. It'll be a little bit unusual. You all know that I normally more or less just stay right with the Bible. But I read something last week that left such a mark in my life that I thought I would share with you. I was thinking about Brother Ed and having a part in his service, Brother Ed Dillo, and I ran across this and I couldn't get away from it. And I've talked to many people. Some have maybe got a little bit of memory about hearing the story somewhere along the way or part of the story. But I want to share with you a story this morning and parallel this story with the life of Jesus. How many believes it would be good if there was at least some degree of parallel between our life and the life of Jesus? Shouldn't that be? If we call ourselves Christians, shouldn't there be a measure of parallel between our life and the life of the Lord Jesus? You see, he said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And I believe this morning that we can glean some things from this story that will help us. I'm just going to read here for just a moment. And I pray that this will speak to your heart the way that it did to mine. When pastor and preacher John Harper, how many's ever heard of John Harper? How many's never heard of John Harper? Would you raise your hand? Okay, that's a large number of us have never heard. And I hadn't until the other night. I don't believe I could have. I forget things in life, but I don't believe I could have forgotten this. When pastor and preacher John Harper and his 6-year-old daughter boarded the Titanic, It was for the privilege of preaching at one of the greatest churches in America, Moody Church in Chicago, named for its famous founder, Dwight L. Moody. The church was anxiously awaiting his arrival, not only because of the pending services, but to meet their next pastor. As Harper planned to accept their invitation, Harper was known as an engaging preacher who had pastored two churches in Glasgow and London. His preaching style was suited for an evangelist, as testified by the words of another local pastor. He was a great open-air preacher and could always command large and appreciative audiences. He could deal with all kinds of interrupters. His great and intelligent grasp of Bible truth enabled him to successfully combat all assailants. When the Titanic hit the iceberg, Harper successfully led his daughter to a lifeboat. Being a widower, he may have been allowed to join her, but instead he forsook his own rescue, choosing to provide the masses with one more chance to know Christ. Harper ran person to person, passionately telling others about Christ. As the water began to submerge the unsinkable ship, Harper was heard shouting, "Women, children, and the unsaved into the lifeboats. Women, children, and the unsaved into the lifeboats." Rebuffed by a certain man at the offer of salvation, Harper gave him his own life vest, and he said, "Sir, you need this more than I do." Up until the last moment on the ship, Harper pleaded with people to give their lives to Jesus. The ship disappeared beneath the deep, frigid waters, leaving hundreds floundering in its wake with no realistic chance for rescue. Harper struggled through hypothermia to swim to as many people as he could, still sharing the gospel. Harper evidently would lose his battle with hypothermia, but now, before giving many people one last glorious gospel witness. 4 years after the tragedy at the Titanic Survivors Meeting in Ontario, Canada, one survivor recounted his interaction with Harper in the middle of the icy waters of the Atlantic. He testified he was clinging to the ship debris when Harper swam up to him, twice challenging him with a biblical invitation to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He rejected the man's offer once, yet given the second chance with miles of water beneath his feet, the man gave his life to Christ. Then as Harper succumbed to his watery grave, this new believer was rescued by a returning lifeboat. As he concluded his remarks at the Ontario meeting of survivors, he simply stated, "I am the last convert of John Harper." I don't know about you this morning, but there are some things I want to share that are true of this man's life and true also of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a simple message, but we ought to ask ourselves the question this morning: had we been on that boat, what would we have been about? Would we have been telling others, women, children, and the unsaved? I believe Brother John Harper believed what he preached. He knew that in his heart he was ready to meet God. But no doubt there were many on that boat that were not headed to church. They were headed on a joyride, headed for a drunken stupor and party. But there was a man of God that understood there's an eternity waiting for every one of us. Amen. Ready or not, eternity's coming. Amen. Jesus is coming. Yeah. And I believe this morning I'd like to call the message, Greater Love Hath No Man Than This. Let me ask you this. If you were that convert, could you say you could see Christ in John Harper's life? If you were the man that John Harper took his life vest off and handed it to you, I don't know if that man died saved or lost, but I'll tell you this, in eternity, he'll never forget it one way or the other, that somebody was willing to help. Jesus wants me to magnify three things this morning in the message. First, he wants me to magnify the compassion. The Bible said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus and the compassion that he has for saints and sinners alike is unmatched, because he was willing to lay down his life. He was willing to go to an old rugged cross. He was willing to suffer and to die, that you and I might live, that we might escape the damnation of hell, that we might live with He and His Father in eternity forever and ever. The Bible said of the Lord Jesus, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Again in Mark 6:34, and Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Jesus had compassion on them in this text because of their direction. They had no direction in life. They were like sheep just scattered abroad, and they had no direction. I'll say this morning, one of the reasons Jesus died on that cross, he wants to save us. He wants to give us a purpose in life. He wants us to have a direction in our life. He wants us to know, as Brother Mays used to say, we're heaven bound with the hammer down. And he wants us to take others with us to the city of God. Get on board. Get on board. He was moved with compassion because of their direction. In another text, Jesus went forth and he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. And Jesus said to this leper, he was moved with compassion. He put forth his hand. He took and he touched him, and he saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. So not only was he moved because of their direction, he was moved because of their disease. I'll tell you something this morning, Brother Gary. We're concerned about our people that aren't well physically. And I'll tell you this. There's a Savior sitting at the right hand of the Father that's making intercession for us. And beloved, he too is concerned about those that we love and care deeply for. He was moved because of their disease. Listen, there's a disease, beloved, that won't just take the body, but it'll take the soul. And somebody said, well, what do you mean? I'm talking about sin. The Bible said we're dead in our trespasses and our sin. Jesus come along and said something like this, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Beloved, there come a day in my life when I realized I had a problem I couldn't solve. I had a debt I couldn't pay. I was headed in a direction that I couldn't change. But hallelujah for a Savior. amen, that paid the debt for me, that changed my direction, that healed me from that sin sickness. Beloved, in another place, in Matthew 18, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. An old preacher, Brother Malin Wyatt, I'm telling you, Malin and John had something in common. I'm talking about John Harper. Malin, y'all know what a boombox is. Y'all know what a boombox is. I think that was a 70s term, amen. If I had one, I'd set it on my shoulder and show you what to do. If my back didn't go out on me, amen. Brother Malin Wyatt, Brother Houston was an old country preacher. You know what he'd do? He'd get them cassette tapes with gospel singing on them. He'd knock on people's doors. He'd go in and set that boombox in the middle of the kitchen table. He'd say, let's listen to them sing a little while. Brother Junior, I mean this. He'd plug that tape in. He'd get some of them old gospel songs going. You say, what did he do then when he turned the boombox off? He started telling them about Jesus. Started telling them about a Savior. I'm going to tell you something right now. Y'all don't know Malin Wyatt's name. And his name's never been on a billboard everywhere. But I promise you, my Heavenly Father knows that old man of God's name. He loved the Lord. He loved sinners. Greater love hath no man than this. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. I believe, beloved, it was evident that day on the Titanic that there was a man of God that had the love of God shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost, which was given unto him. You think about that. I know that it was manifested at Calvary when our Lord, they didn't take his life. You don't understand the gospel if you think they took his life. He laid his life down. He said, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. Thank God for a Savior that willingly gave his life that you and I might live. The second thing I want to share with you in the message, not only do I see compassion in this story and in the life of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, but I see a confidence. You see, Jesus had a confidence in his life. He said, I do always those things which please the Father. With Jesus, there was no question mark. He knew who he was. He knew why he was born. He knew where he was headed when he was born. When they talked about the cross, he said, for this cause came I into the world. He was born to die that you and I might live. He had a confidence in his life. I believe that in the story that I read, would you agree with me, that John Harper was confident in his own salvation. I believe, Brother Junior, he was confident that if I don't make it, I may not make it across this sea, but there's another one. I'm going to make it across. There's going to be a personal escort. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Listen to these words. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Sitting on church pews just like this all over Kingsport, all over Tennessee, all over the United States are people that do not have any confidence. If their life ended today, heaven would be their home. There are people that have confidence, and there are people that do not have confidence. And what a way to live. Living your life day after day after day after day, night after night, not knowing for sure that heaven would be your home if you left this world. Say what you will, but I believe when that man of God set his baby in that lifeboat, he knew this very well may be the last time I see my baby. He knew, beloved, when he took that life jacket off, this may be the very last time that I see this man. He knew when he was floating there, he wasn't floating, others were. He was swimming from one to another, one to another. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You say, Pastor, why didn't he give them the Romans road? Listen to me. I'm not against explaining that we're sinners and explaining that we owe a sin debt and explaining that Christ paid the debt. But there wasn't time for explanation. When that jailer said to Paul, what must I do to be saved? Paul did not mince any words. He and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. It's sad, but multitudes are religious and yet have no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved friend, there's a confidence. I was reminded when I wrote that word down last night, confidence. You remember Jesus healed a blind man. Brother Michael, the other Michael ain't here today, so you know who I'm talking to. These two guys, I told them, I said, anytime I say Brother Michael and they're sitting together, if they don't like it, they just think he's talking to the other one. I got to thinking about that blind man. Jesus healed him. They said, who has sinned, this man or his parents? Because he was born blind. And Jesus said, neither. This is for the glory of God. And Jesus healed him. Here come the Pharisees. And by the way, beloved, I'm going to tell you something right here that a lot of people don't understand. There are people that will tell you that God will not hear any prayer from a lost man except the sinner's prayer. I don't believe that for two reasons. Number one, it's not scriptural. And number two, you say, Pastor, what do you mean it's not scriptural? Let me tell you, let me help you. Cornelius, his prayers and his alms came up to God for memorial before he was ever saved by the grace of God. I know it in the scripture. I know it in my own life. When a man is genuinely trying to know God and trying to figure some things out, God ain't hiding himself. You say, well, the Bible said we know the Lord heareth not sinners. Let me say this. That is recorded in the Bible. You know who said it? The Pharisees. That's who said that. It was the Pharisees that said, this man's a sinner, and we know the Lord. Well, let me ask you something. Was they right about that? Was Jesus a sinner? Were they right about that? No, they weren't right about that. And they weren't right about the other either. We know that the Lord heareth not sinners. So, they come to this man, this blind man, and they're questioning him. And here's what he says, Brother David. He says, whether he's a sinner or no, I know not. You see, that man had met him and received his sight, but he hadn't received his spiritual sight yet. That happens later in the chapter. Amen. He said, whether he's a sinner or no, I know not. But Brother Junior, he said, one thing I know, wherein I was blind, now I see. Hallelujah. Do you have that kind of confidence this morning that there was a time in your life, I'm talking about you were spiritually blind, but now you can see. John Harper had that kind of confidence. Our Lord Jesus had that kind of confidence in His Father. He had that kind of confidence in the work that He was involved in. The third thing that I see in the message this morning, I see the compassion. Greater love hath no man than this. I see the confidence in this man's life. But the last word I'll use is not the way we normally use it in the church. The last word is conviction. And the way I'm using that word this morning is not talking about conviction of sin. I'm talking about, beloved, conviction that what you're sharing is right. What you're sharing is needful. What you're sharing will get the job done. Amen. I have a conviction about this book. It don't need any help. It'll get the job done. Say amen. it'll get the job done. Watch this now. This conviction is seen in three areas. First, it was seen in his priorities. When he was running the ship deck, he was saying, women, children, and the unsaved into the lifeboats. He had a priority. You say, Pastor, why do so many people not have joy? They have no priority. They've never learned, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. They're trying to add the other things and hope some joy comes with it. God said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. His priority was right when he was saying, women, children, the unsaved, into the lifeboat first. His priority was right when he gave away his life jacket. You see, joy, listen to me carefully. Some of you have heard this. Maybe this will be the first time for somebody. J-O-Y. The acrostic for joy is Jesus first, J. Others, that's in the middle, and then yourself. And I'm going to tell you this morning, listen to me carefully. I've been there and you've been there too, if you'd be honest. There have been days in your life when you tried to spell joy, but it came out yodge. It was you, then your children, your family, and if you had anything left over, that was for Jesus. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. The priority must be right if we're going to have the joy of the Lord in our heart. And here, the Bible said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. This story spoke to my heart. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I'm going to meet a man here tomorrow to go out visiting about 5:30 or 5:45. For somebody like to go out with us, we can go out together, knock on some doors, just have a good time, inviting people to the house of God, giving out some gospel tracts. We might run into somebody that would like to receive Christ. But I tell you what we can do. We can take the seed and we can go sow it in the field. Say amen. Oh, beloved friend, there was conviction. It was seen in his priorities. Secondly, there was conviction that was seen in his proclamation. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm trying to parallel this man and the Lord Jesus. I hope you're getting that in the message. What did Jesus say in his proclamation? Here's what he said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's said with conviction, Brother Ralph. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus wasn't mealy-mouthed about it. He wouldn't know for sure if that was right or not. Jesus said, let me give you something. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Brother Gary, as you prayed, it was almost as if you were in our Sunday school class this morning. Beloved, there's no side door to heaven. There's no back door to heaven. Jesus said, I am the door to heaven. You must come through that door. You say, where did you see that proclamation of conviction in John Harper's life? I didn't hear somebody say, let me baptize you. I didn't hear somebody say, why don't you join our church over in Chicago? That's where I'm headed. I didn't hear somebody say, you ought to quit your drinking. I saw you up there on the deck. I didn't hear somebody say, you ought to quit your womanizing. I saw you up there on the dance floor. No. With conviction. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. I'm telling you something, beloved. If we're not careful, we'll make something complicated that God made simple. It's what you do with Jesus that'll determine whether you get to go to heaven or not. You reject him, you'll go to hell. You receive him, you'll go to heaven. And it's what you do for Jesus that will determine your reward in heaven after you've received him. as your Savior. I'm telling you this morning, greater love hath no man than this. Let me move on. I'm coming to a close in just a moment. His conviction was seen in his priorities. His conviction was seen in his proclamation. His conviction was seen in his perpetuity. That's a big word that means the state or character of being perpetual. To desire happiness in perpetuity would be an example. It means endless or an indefinitely long duration or existence. Eternity. John Harper and Jesus both were not living their lives looking at time. They were living their lives looking at eternity. I'll never forget the first message Brother Jason preached here at the church on a Wednesday night, I believe it was. It was either Wednesday night or Sunday night. He preached on this subject, don't look at what you see. Well, duh. I know where the text came from. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, you want to know where a lot of people's joy is? Horizontal vision. They never have a vertical vision. They never look up. If we're not careful, beloved, I'll say this, and God may be fixing to take care of this in our country. You might not like what I'm going to say, but I believe what's hurt us more than anything in America is prosperity. We don't need God anymore. We don't go next door and borrow a stick of butter from our neighbor anymore, or a cup of flour, or a cup of sugar, or two pieces of cheese so you can make grilled cheese sandwiches for the youngins and cut them in half. You say, Pastor, you sound like you was raised poor. These people in this room was raised poorer than I was. Amen. And we was closer to God. Amen. I lived in that generation of bell bottoms. I loved it. Hippies. You know what I loved about it? I was squirting up. Beloved, by the time I turned 11, 12 years old, it's just like somebody plugged my feet into fertilizer. And when you had nobody, listen, everybody, can you see this? Let me show you. If I come to church like this, y'all gonna laugh. That's what we call flood pants. High waters, amen. Well, I lived in a generation, Brother Michael, where we took blue jeans and sewed some kind of material on the bottom of them. So it was easy. I wasn't growing this way, the way I am now. I'm just going out of way. It's easy, Brother Michael. Just cut that off, sew something a little longer on it. Many are living with horizontal vision and they never look up. They're looking at the things which are temporal. That'll never bring joy. We've got to look at the things which are eternal. It was seen in his perpetuity. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Get your place in Revelation chapter 20. I'm not going to read there just now, but you'll be ready. Revelation chapter 20. I share this with you and I'm finished. What I'm about to read to you, beloved, It's almost, you just can't believe it when you're reading it. Paul Harvey used to have a program and he would tell stories and he'd say, now you know the rest of the story. How many remembers his, I don't know, there's a word for it, Miss Eve, dissertation, is that the right word? What's the right word? Like the thing that he, anybody know? What's the right word? His monologue? It wasn't a monologue. It's called something else. But anyway, we'll call it that because Miss E said so. And I want something to eat when I get done. The rest of the story. Listen to this. When the Titanic set sail, there were three classes of passengers. I don't know this for sure, but I'm imagining they had first class, second class, and third class. I don't believe that meant one person was better than another, but like you get on an airplane, you pay extra for first class. And first class, you got more leg room. It's almost like a little recliner. Amen. You say, how do you know? Because I've seen other people sitting in them. I know we're not supposed to be envious. But I thought, man alive, that guy in front of you, or that gal in front of you, that's better than a kid in front of you. Especially a brat in front of you. Well, without fail, they'll lean that seat back. And all of a sudden, you have empathy for a sardine. When the Titanic set sail, there were three classes of passengers. Yet immediately after the tragedy, the White Star Line in Liverpool, England, placed a board outside of its office with only two classes of passengers. Here's the reading. Known to be saved and known to be lost. Brother John, there was nothing spiritual about what they put on that board. All they was trying to tell you is there's some of them we know survived and there's some of them we know died. The owners of the Titanic had simply reaffirmed what John Harper already knew. There are people who know Christ and will spend eternity with God in heaven. And there are others who do not know Christ. And they will be lost forever. If you died today, would you be known to be saved or known to be lost? You say, Pastor, I wish you would preach from the Bible. That's why I ask you to turn to Revelation chapter 20. God does not have a board, Brother Michael, but He has a book. It's called the Lamb's Book of life. Do you know whose names are in that book? Those that are known to be saved. You know whose names will not be in that book? Those who are known to be lost. I promise you that you and I, beloved, are not the judge. You and I would make some mistakes. We'd say things like, ain't no way that man saved. Ain't no way that woman saved. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Brother May said when he first started out preaching years ago, Brother John, he said, I used to keep a record of the converts. He said, then I got to going back to them places a year later to preach another revival. And he said, you couldn't find them with a search warrant. He said, I threw my record down and said, I'm going to let God keep a record. His record's right. Known to be saved, known to be lost. Revelation chapter number 20 and verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you're sitting here today and you're known to be saved, There ought to be a concern and a burden in your life for those that are known to be lost. If there's not, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this. He lays down His life, and we can't lay down an hour on Sunday evening. He lays down His life, and we can't lay down an hour on Wednesday night. He lays down His life, and we can't lay down a gospel tract. He lays down His life. We can't make it to choir practice. He lays down His life and we can't make time for our Bible. He lays down His life and we can't make time to pray. He lays down His life and we live for ourselves instead of living for Him and living for others. We can have revival in our hearts, in our homes, in the house of God. We can have revival in our country. But it's not as long as self is still on the throne in our lives. I preached last Sunday morning, I believe it was. Is that when the Bristol race was last Sunday or last Saturday? That's when a couple from Illinois were here. He told me it had always, he's a preacher in Illinois, he said it had always been a bucket list. He likes to mechanic and do things. And he said it had always been a bucket list of mine to go to a NASCAR race. And so the church actually told him to go. Take some time off. He said, Brother Rick, he said, I'll never go to another one. He said, we sat down. He said, I don't know why people would want to pay all of that money and be so drunk they couldn't do nothing but vomit. He said, they'll have to wake up Monday and find out who won the race. I mentioned all that just to say this. His wife left, Miss Lisa, and she said something to me that I've never had said to me after a service. Brother Ralph, she said, what a Savior. If we could get Brother Gary that much of a picture of the love that he had for us at Calvary, we'd never say, what a church, what a preacher, what a message. But we'd say, what a Savior. The songwriter got it right when he said, oh, what a Savior is mine. Wonderful, glorious. Amen. That's the God we serve. Amen. Greater love hath no man than this. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, thank You this morning for the privilege to preach the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for this man by the name of John Harper. Thank You for another man by the name of Ed Dillow. Lord, they weren't both on the Titanic. But when I saw Brother Ed, he knew that his end was close. What he was doing was pointing others to Jesus. It's what he loved to do in his life, and he continued to do it in his death. Could be, Lord, that lady from Guatemala will be able to say, I was Ed Dillow's last convert. God, we don't save anybody
But we point them to the one who can. His name is Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning now you'd have your way in this invitation. God will give you glory. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.